We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." The worlds were framed by the word of God. Nobody can really explain. Science tries to get so close to, to explaining the creation, the creator of where everything came from, the Big Bang Theory and all of this stuff. They try to explain where did this moving rock come from? How did this? Our God is the creator. He created you. He created the world. He created the universe. And we serve a God that works in the invisible, a God that works in the supernatural. Hallelujah. So it says here, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So faith makes the invisible visible. In your life, if you walk by faith, if you live by faith, you can call the unseen into your life. You can call the unseen, the invisible, into your life. That's what faith is. You confess it, you speak it, you live it, you act it. Faith must be an operation in your life in every area. There cannot be doubt. There cannot be fear. Fear is not something you can pray away. Fear is something that must be rebuked in the name of Jesus. It must be kicked out of your life. And you must say, Lord, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. The Lord has given me a sound mind. I am created by Christ. I am the head and not the tail, above and never beneath. You are called. You are appointed. You have a plan for your life. There is a reason why you're here, and you have to begin to operate in faith to call the invisible to make it visible in your life. With this location in Buffalo, we weren't sure how it was all going to take place. Pastor Jeremiah never wavered. He had peace the whole time. He knew that this was what God wanted to do. He knew that this was the open door we were praying about. He called the invisible visible. In the name of Jesus, you have to kick fear out of your life. And sometimes you're going to have to do things afraid. Sometimes you're going to have to do things when you're not really sure how it's all going to pan out. But you have to step out onto the water and you have to do it. You have to begin to move where God wants you to move in your life. Jonah, running from God, had an amazing call of God in his life. God had a plan and a purpose. He's running from the plan of God for his life. And what does he do? He gets swallowed by a whale. Disgusting. He gets swallowed by a whale. And he's like running from the plan and purpose for his life. But when he finally said, okay, Lord, I will do what you called me to do. I will pull the invisible and I will bring it to the visible. He goes to Nineveh and the whole region gets saved. The whole region, every single person hears the gospel. Back then it wasn't the gospel, but they hear the word of the Lord and they were able to receive the Lord. Amen. That's what God has for you. He only has success. It's us that bring destruction. It's us that brings, the lack of faith. It's us that runs from the plan and the purpose for God for our lives. We have to do what God tells us to do, whether it makes sense or not. When we launched out in ministry, we started in our apartment complex and we were like, we went down to Florida. We came back, because that's where we went to Bible school. We came back and the Lord spoke to us to start a church. And really, we had no clue whatsoever how this was going to take place. But we knew that all we needed was each other and the word of God in our life. That's all we needed. We needed greater revelation of who Christ is, of who God is, what he's called us to do, and to just do it together. That was it. So when we stepped out, it's so funny how things began to just pop like popcorn that started to fall into place. It was like, we didn't know where we were going to preach. We had no clue where we were going to go. So we had someone at the apartment complex. They're like, we have this community room, you know, this community building. If you want to, you can use it because I heard you're starting a church. Never told this person. Don't know really how they came to know it, but they said, you know, I just felt like this was what God wanted to do for you to use this building. Hallelujah. So we started preaching. Then there was a Baptist pastor that was like, so I heard you're starting a church. I have a bunch of chairs. Would they be of use to you? We were like, yes, they would be of use to us. We have nowhere for anyone to sit. I mean, we could do Indian style, you know, like, but that'd be a little weird. So yes, we have chairs. So then we had chairs come in. Then we had someone say that we have a projector, like, to do your videos for, you know, for worship and everything. So it was like things just began to fall into place. The Lord's grace is there so that you can fulfill exactly what it is that He wants to do for your life. It's not going to make sense. If we waited till all of these things started to fall into place, I mean, we most likely wouldn't have ever even started, because God, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, God wants to see your heart. God wants to know that you're going to do exactly what He calls you to do. And then the blessings start to pull in. The provision starts to fall in. It's like everything begins to just fall into place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, we didn't have any partnerships. We didn't have any members. We didn't have a building when we first started, but we just did it. We said to ourselves, Zechariah 4:10, that the Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Maybe God has something big on the inside of you and you're not sure. Maybe you get overwhelmed by the big vision of everything. How am I going to make this all start? How am I going to make this all work? It's so large. I don't even know how I could do that. You know, I believe a big God, but like, how can I just start? It's the small beginnings. It's the faithfulness that God wants to see that you are going to do what He called you to do. I remember Hannah, when she started her lettering business, she was starting to learn how to letter, to do these like fancy calligraphy letters and stuff like that. I'm not artistic, don't ask me. So she steps out though, and she starts just like doing these videos, starts making these things, starts learning about it, becoming knowledgeable about all the products and stuff like that. She now has over like 11,000 people that follow her on Instagram. She gets people that call her that will ask her for products. It's become a business because she started with a talent. She started with something that she liked to do, even if you're not that good at. You might not be that good at it, but maybe you have a passion for something. Maybe you have something that sparks an interest on the inside of you. Maybe you have something that rubs you the wrong way and you're like, okay, maybe if I start this, I can start to see some change locally. I can start to see some change take place in my area. But then you begin to start and you see that God grows that when you're faithful. It's so funny. She looked back earlier when she first started, right, Hannah? And you were like, oh my goodness, like this is where I started from. Now she looks like a complete professional. I mean, like in magazines, she would just be like, I mean, she gets paid for this stuff now. I mean, but when she started, it was like she didn't really know what she was doing, but she knew that she had a passion for this and she began to do it. Hallelujah. That's faith. That's when you begin to put your faith to action and say, I'm just going to start something. And then as it grows, you begin to see the Lord blesses you, that He provides for you, that He brings increase because He has your heart. Money doesn't have your heart. The world doesn't have your heart. The Lord has your heart. Hallelujah. So Hebrews 11:1-3, that's the foundation of our faith. Then God fights our battles. God builds His church. God brings increase. Only God can promote you. So the second year we were in ministry, we planned a big Christmas event. And in the morning, you know, we had this all planned out. You know, who knows, Christmas is like the Christers, people that come out for Christmas and Easter only, you know? So we had all these people that were planning to come for this Christmas event and these giveaways and everything we were going to do. And so we get a text at like 4 a.m. and we're like, they messaged us and they said, I'm so sorry to say this, but the building's going to be closed tomorrow. You're not going to be able to have your service. Literally, Pastor Jeremiah and I, we read this text, we look at each other, we prayed, and then we fell back asleep. We woke up at, I guess, 7 or 8 o'clock when we were getting ready to start church, and they said, I'm so sorry, we shouldn't have said that. Church is going to be open, you can use it, and there's, don't even worry about what we said before. We had total peace. We were like, Lord, this is your church. You build the church. You grow the church. These are your people. Do you want church to be closed on Christmas? No. So then there's going to be a way that it's going to open. We're not even going to lose any sleep about it. We're going to praise you. We're going to celebrate you. We're going to worship you because you are good. Hallelujah. 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 So Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We had to begin to realize that we are just stewards of God's house. We are stewards of what the Lord wants to do in every single person's life. The church is the body of Christ. The church is not a building. I mean, if that Christmas we had to have people at our house, we were going to pack them out. We didn't care. We were like, we are not closing down church. It is not an option. Because it's the Lord's house, it's the Lord's people, and he wants to move in their lives. He wants to take them from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So we began to believe that it's the Lord's house. We're not going to do this out of the flesh. We're not going to do this out of like, how can we just do this great, you know, new program to just get people excited about, you know, different things. We've tried, you know, the donut thing where you like, you know, you do donuts and like you think more people are going to come to church for donuts. It worked for a little while, but it doesn't sustain because people want something real. People want the real word of God. People are actually suffering and need a miracle in their life, and donuts is not going to fulfill that. Scones and coffee is not going to make you successful. It's not going to bring you to the next level. It's not going to make you triumphant. It's not going to make you victorious. You need a radical encounter by the power and presence of God to take you to the next level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, for some people, maybe you need a miracle in this place. Maybe you're believing God for deliverance in some area. This is your answer. Turn to Psalm 107 with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. Thanksgiving to the Lord for his works of great deliverance. It's only the Lord. It's only the Lord that can deliver you from your situation that you need a miracle for. Verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. You get mercy every single morning you wake up. You get grace every single morning you wake up to fulfill the plan and call of God for your life. Hallelujah. His mercies are new every morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many of you have been redeemed? How many of you have been redeemed? Hallelujah. You've been redeemed. You've been set apart for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Okay. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I used to serve the devil with all my heart. I used to be an awful, horrible person. I used to be at the clubs and the bars. I used to be partying. I used to treat people like garbage, but I've been redeemed from that old life. I've been set free. I've been restored. Hallelujah. God has set me free from my past. He has snatched me out of the hand of the enemy because I was on my way to hell. I was living for the devil and I was on my way to hell. But he set me free. He put me on higher ground. He said, daughter, I have a plan. I have a purpose for your life. You're not going to live in struggle. You're not going to live in lack. You're not going to live in defeat, in pain anymore. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. A good father. Don't listen to anyone who ever tells you that God is bad or that God is sending you destruction, that God is sending you famine, that God is sending you, you know, sickness to teach you a lesson. Tell that devil to go back to hell. I don't care if it's your mother. Tell him to get out of your life. Don't ever let anyone speak bad about the Lord to you. He is good. It says right here in the Word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Our God is good. And gathered out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them out of their distress. If you need a miracle in this place, you need to go to the only one who can give it to you. Your job can't do it. Your doctor can't do it. Your family can't do it. Nobody can give you the miracle other than your Heavenly Father. You need to seek him with all your heart. You need to run after him, not walk. You need to run after him. You need to be on fire for God. You need to do and fulfill what he's called you to do. He's going to give you the plan. He's going to give you the direction, but you have to have a thankful heart. You have to praise the Lord in every season. Hallelujah. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go into the city for a dwelling place. Oh, that the men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. God is good, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. When I was not saved, I was searching for God. I was like, this can't be how my life ends up. I can't be, you know, ending up in prison, dead at the bottom of a river. Like, this can't be how my life goes. There has to be something bigger out there that can help me. I began to go back to Catholic Mass because I grew up Catholic. And I went there a couple Sundays, you know, because my little Italian nanny, she was like, you know, oh, you know, the Catholic faith is the way, you know, when your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you know, don't worry about it. No religion could give me any answers. No religion, you know, no sacraments, no, like, you know, baby baptism, nothing like that could actually give me any answers or help me out in any situation that I had. And I would go to Mass and I'd be like, I'd feel like God was so big. He was so up there. He was so, like, he didn't care about any of my needs. He didn't care about what I was going through. He didn't care that I had been in an abusive relationship and that I had been taken advantage of and everything, that, like, he's too busy. Why would he come into my life? Why would he help me? And so I didn't want to go to Mass anymore. I was like, forget this. This holy water thing, this genuflecting, like, this is not doing anything for me. I feel actually worse when I come out of this place. Like, I have this, like, scowl. It's like, if you smiled at Catholic Mass, it's like, you're getting backhanded, you know? So it's like, I got the heck out of there and was like, please, you know? So, I mean, the nuns. Oh, anyway, so I began to, like, to feel like, okay, then God, like, what is that? And, you know, and then after going to Mass, I still didn't feel any closer to the Lord or anything. So I just began to live my own life again. Like, I still did the same things. I couldn't get set free. I was still in bondage, still, you know, totally bound by the things of the world, chains. It was like I wanted to do good, but I couldn't. It was like I just couldn't. I couldn't make the right decisions. I would, like, think that, like, okay, I'm going to change my ways. I'm not going to go down this path anymore. And every single time it was like it would just be compromised one after another. I would hang out with the same people. I would do the same things. Nothing was setting me free from that. But it wasn't until I had a radical encounter with the presence of God, when I accepted Jesus and made him Lord of my life. I said, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. When I believe that he died on the cross for me, that he rose from the grave, from the dead for me, when I began to realize this was a personal, intimate relationship that I could have with an almighty God, that he could actually speak to me, he could give me direction, he could give me plans for my life, I fell so radically in love with Jesus. I didn't care about any past relationships. I didn't care about any sin that I mean, you have an encounter and you feel the Holy Spirit for the first time. There's no amount of drugs that can satisfy you. There's no amount of alcohol that can fulfill you. Nothing, nothing, nothing like the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in his wonder, he redeems us. He sets us free. Those who sat in darkness and in shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God. I knew what was right and wrong. I mean, I grew up in Catholic church. I went to Catholic school. I helped out at Sunday school. Like, I did all my religious duties growing up. I knew what was right and wrong, but I couldn't do those things. I couldn't make the right decisions because I was bound and despised the counsel of the Most High. I mean, how many times I took the Lord's name in vain? How many times I said, that I would talk bad about the Lord, that I wouldn't care, you know, like, I would want to impress my friends and say, yeah, I don't go to church, like, who cares, like, you know, whatever. And that the Lord would still forgive me? That the Lord would love me enough that he would say, I'm going to throw all your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and I am going to make you new. All things new. That I got a redo, that I got a do-over, that I didn't have to hold on to any of my past, that I got to walk in faith, that I got to serve the Lord when I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I deserved the punishment for all the things I did. I deserved the sickness. I deserved the disease. I deserved everything that I struggled with because I brought that destruction on myself. No, God did that to me. I made my own choices. And despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. No doctor, no parent, nobody could help me. It was only the Lord. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. I cried out to God the moment I first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not religion. When I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and I realized there was another way. I didn't debate with myself. I didn't think, well, maybe this is real, maybe it's not. Faith was born on the inside of me. My spirit man was born on the inside of me. Faith began to arise, and I began to make the right decisions for what God wanted for my life, and it was easy. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't hard. It's easy to serve the Lord. It was hard to serve the devil. It was hard to keep my family happy all the time. It was hard to, like, you know, continue to hang out with the friends, to be hung over the next day and go to work. It was hard to serve the devil because everything comes with a price. But when you love the Lord and you're seeking after him, he pours out blessing and grace and blessing and grace upon your life. He calls you a child of God. He calls you his child. Hallelujah. So then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. I didn't struggle with those sins anymore. I didn't struggle with that past that I had gotten myself into. It was broken. The chains were broken off of my life. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to their children of men. Hallelujah. That's Psalms 107:15. If you need a miracle, if you need a breakthrough in your life, you need to get that in your spirit. You need to get that in your life and say, I am victorious. Hallelujah. That God is on your side. He's redeemed you. And that the miracle is yours. You just have to reach out and receive it. You can't get yourself out of your impossible situation, but we serve a God of the impossible. God can make up for the errors of the past. He can restore and multiply. The Lord restored everything that I had done. The Lord restored everything to me 100-fold. I just began to run after the things of God, and he restored all of the suffering and pain that I had brought on myself. He delivers us from our destructions. Psalm 107:19-22, and then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. If you need a miracle, you need to begin to thank the Lord. You need to begin to praise him. You need to begin to worship him. You need to begin to build your faith and believe. You need to get these scriptures. It's over and over again. It's repetitive. It's like, believe the Lord, confess the word, get the Lord in your spirit. He will set you free then from your destructions. He will build the house. He will grow you. He. It's all about him. It is all about him. It's how much more can we get of him in our life? How much more can we surrender of ourselves to an almighty, powerful God? A God that is alive. So the Bible says, with God, all things are possible, and all things are possible for those who believe. Seek first the kingdom. It's only by the hand of God that you can get out of your impossible circumstances. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is on your side, who cares what the opponent's doing? Who cares what the devil tries to do? Don't even let him be on your radar. Don't even look to the left or to the right. Just keep your eyes fixed on what God wants to do in your life. Don't ever turn your back on God or think that God is the one that's bringing your problems, because then why would he fix them? Why is God, he's not in the business of delivering you problems then later so that he can fix them. Doesn't that sound like insane? Like why do people believe that he gives and takes away, that he's bringing pain and suffering so that then he can just prove that you're a humble person, that you just keep the faith through it all? The whole way through the Bible, it's about God bringing people into victory, about men and women that are living by faith, and they receive the victory in the name of Jesus. Tell the devil to get out of your mind. Resist the devil and he will flee. Don't even allow those thoughts to harbor in your mind. Don't allow the plan of the enemy to take root at all. Just tell him to go. Tell him to go back to hell where he belongs in the name of Jesus. So you can always tell a believer when they are operating in fear and emotions, when they blame and they run from God in the darkest times. But fear must be rebuked. You have to be a Christian that if when trials and tribulations, if they come into your life, that you rise up and you say, no, my God is good. My God is my provider. I will operate and live by faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't give yourself another reason to repent about something. Don't blame the Lord for anything that's going on in your life. First of all, maybe you need to take a reflection of what's going on in your life. Maybe you brought the destruction. Because as we read, God is only good. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Lift him up. Worship his holy name. He is good. He only brings goodness. So the problem either needs to be with, one, the devil's coming into your life and bringing destruction. But most of the time I see with Christians, it's because of them. It's because they are bringing those destructions and problems in their life, and they need to make a decision. I'm going to close this door. I'm going to close the door to the enemy. I'm not going to let this take root in my life. I am only going to walk and live by faith and do what God's called me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is the word of God. I wasn't reading that before, just making it up because it sounds good. It says right here, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed. It is a process. You have to continue to renew your mind. You have to continue to walk by faith. You don't just get a get out of jail free card anytime something comes up your way because the last time you were victorious. You have to fight. You have to decide you will be victorious. You know, when I got saved after I married Pastor Jeremiah, I made a decision. I'm going to heaven. I will never divorce my husband, and I will raise godly children. That's it. It can be as simple as that. You can make the decision that in your life that you are going to live for God, and you're not going to let those things ever take place in your life, that you're not going to let that distract, like anything, let the enemy come into your life and pull you down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Mark 4:35. On the same day, when evening had come, he had said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. This is right here where I want you guys to see this. And a great windstorm arose. There are going to be storms, there's going to be trials, there's going to be things that come into your life that are going to try and knock you down, that are going to try and take you out. Wouldn't the devil love it to see Christians fall? Wouldn't the devil love it to see a family fall apart that he can try and have his way? But you can make a decision that, no, we will serve the Lord. We are going to serve the Lord. My house will serve the Lord. That no plan or no attack from the enemy is going to take me out. Hallelujah. So there is a windstorm here that arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. You might be in a boat this morning, and there's a windstorm, and it's beginning to sink, and you're not sure how you're going to get out of it. Let me tell you, it's not going to come by coming here singing praise and worship songs and, God, you're so faithful. God, I love you, Lord. And then next Sunday, you know, something takes place and you're just like, boom, out of the plan of God. You're not at church anymore. You're not fulfilling what God called for your life. You allow something to take you out. We sing and we worship and we praise these songs. Do you mean them? Are they real to you? Is God alive? Is Jesus still on the throne? So if something takes place, why don't you start taking action on the word of God, confess it in your life, and say, I'm going to make the choice that this is not going to take me out. Not today, devil. Not today. Not ever. Your plan, your purpose for my life might be one thing, but God's plan, God's purpose for my life is way better, and I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to choose peace. I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose to serve the Almighty God. Not today, devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Jesus is in the stern, asleep on a pillow. He's in the back of the boat, chilling out. He's taking a nap. He's preached. He's worked really hard. He needs a little shut eye, okay? And these disciples are like, oh my gosh, Jesus, Jesus. When they had the same power and authority, they could rebuke the storm. They could tell the storm to stop. Jesus doesn't want to have to do it all. Jesus has already done all that he can do on the cross. He needs you to take action. He needs you to do something about your situation. He needs you to get a holy anger on the inside and say, devil, get the heck out of my life. Get off of my family. Don't you dare touch my children. Don't you dare come in this house. Sickness is not allowed to come in near my dwelling place. You need to get the word of God inside of you so that when something takes place, that's what rises up. That's what comes out of you. Not scared, doubt, and fear. Oh, I don't know how we're going to make it this month. I don't know how we're going to do it. You know why I love River Church so much? I don't have Christians coming up to me after church on Sunday saying, I need special prayer. This is really going on in my life and I don't know how to handle it. Oh my gosh, like, you know, all this stuff is taking place. We are raising believers that they have power, that they have the greater one on the inside of them, that they're fulfilling and doing exactly what it is that God wants them to do, that they take action on their life, that they do not allow the storm to overtake them, that they speak to the storm, that they speak to the waves. Pastor Jeremiah and I can't do it all on our own. We need you to rise up and do it for yourself. We need you to rise up and come under the vision and say, how can I make an impact at River Church? How can I be used? How can I go to the next level? Hallelujah. That's what River Church is all about. We're a family. This is the house of God. We can't do it alone. We need every single person. Every single person has different talents and abilities. You're all called to do something else. And that's the body of Christ. We're all working together as one in unity, as one in unity to see this world, to see this generation not perish by the hand of the devil, but to see Jesus rise on this time, because he is coming back quickly. He is coming back quickly, and we need people that are going to rise up and do exactly what the plan and the purpose is for their life individually. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. So, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So many Christians, they think, does God not even care about my situation? Is he just overlooking me? Is he just like, I must not be one of his favorites or his beloved? Like, why is God allowing this to happen in my life? Why is this taking place, God? Stop asking why and start doing something about it. Stop asking why is this happening and start making a decision that you're going to take responsibility for and you're going to command it to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's faith. That is faith in operation. Hallelujah. And you can have peace in the middle of the storm. You can have complete, total peace in every situation. With this whole thing with Buffalo, we were not exactly sure how it was going to take place. We were so, like, we knew this was God. We were like, this God wants to touch this whole region. And we didn't know exactly how all of it's going to take place. But when we stepped out ministry the first time, we didn't know how it was going to take place either. We didn't know where anything was going to come from, how it was going to grow. But we knew that our eyes were fixed on Jesus and we had peace that we were going to learn through the process, that God was going to give us the blueprint, that God was going to speak to us, and that we were not going to fall away from the plan that God had. So no matter what, we were going to hunker down. We were going to get some grit. We were going to get some grit about us and not give up. There is no plan B. There is no plan B for your life. When you get to heaven and you stand before an almighty God and he's going to judge you on what your plan was for your life, not from your sins and what, you know, he's going to judge you as far as what you were supposed to do and why didn't you do it. And you're not going to be able to say, well, my spouse, well, my so-and-so, well, you know, would you know what they did to me? It's a matter of you getting the Holy Spirit in your life, allowing to hear the voice of the Lord and get that exactly so that you can fulfill all that he has for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now we're so excited about the second location. You know, because God provided for us, God's growing the house here. We have a growing church. We don't have a small church. We have a growing church. That we know God's going to do the same thing in Buffalo, that he's going to grow it there, that we're going to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's going to provide everything. We're not taking from one church here to go to the next to make it happen. It's all about God building the house because he is coming back quickly and we have to get to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.